Hey Enneagram friends, I'm Abby, an IEA accredited Enneagram teacher and coach. I teach Enneagram workshops with corporate and nonprofit teams, and I also facilitate executive coaching as part of that professional development experience. I'd love to bring the Enneagram to your workplace. Today on the podcast, I'm joined in a live coaching session with an Enneagram 8 that's a vice president within her organization. In this coaching conversation, we consider vulnerability, what it means to be vulnerable, and also steps we can take towards being more vulnerable. In our time together, we consider the defense mechanism of type 8, denial, and how that causes Enneagram 8s to filter out input, information, and sensations that cause them to feel weak. We explore the place for vulnerability within the workplace and how that might impact everyone's experience, both the 8, but also the rest of the team. I hope you'll listen in with curiosity and see what resonates in your experience. I know that you gave some context when you scheduled of just, you know, curiosity around vulnerability. And so you gave some language to it. And then you also talked a little bit about, you know, competitive qualities. But I'd love to know in your own words, what feels most helpful for us to unpack and explore in our time together?
Gosh, I don't know. I'd leave it up. I might just leave it up to you. It's like this unknown and I don't know how to tap into it. I don't even know what it means when somebody, you know, uses the word vulnerable. It just doesn't evoke anything from me. Yeah. And not that I'm not vulnerable. Well, I mean, probably not as most or don't appear as most, but yeah. And how, you know, when we talk about exercises and people talk about it, I feel like they're talking a foreign language and I see people get it and they're like, yes. And I'm thinking I am, or am I not? I don't know. So.
Yeah. When you think about the context where that term of vulnerability comes up, is it purely as you're reading about type 8 and then that keeps coming up, or is it in conversations where you're getting feedback?
Not necessarily feedback. It's mostly in just listening to the world. Like I don't have an inner dialogue, for example. Mm-hmm. I don't, and I don't know what that means. And so I feel like sometimes when people are like, you don't, and we have those discussions and I don't know what they're talking about because I don't have I don't feel like I have one. So I don't know how to tap into that, you know? Mm-hmm. So if there's, something that says, you know, you just don't, it won't. And 30% of the population has it, doesn't, I don't even know what I'm making those up. What does that look like? And should I be on an internal search for it if it's just something that doesn't, that I don't either need or I process differently, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and I think too, you know, the conversation around internal processing, I think sometimes it's helpful to think about it in the sense of, you know, some people have an internal dialogue, right? It's an actual voice. They could, I was talking with a friend, she's like, I could stare at a mirror and have an entire conversation without ever talking. And I'm like, I could never do that. I don't have an internal dialogue in that way, but I have internal abstract sense of things, right? So abstract thoughts or feelings or sensations around what I am doing or how I'm processing or troubleshooting or putting things together. So does that more abstract feeling or sense resonate with you?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I feel like I have it there. I feel healthy as far as, you know, my research into it. I feel like I can empathize. I feel like, you know, I feel comfortable, especially on the journey I've had with Enneagram versus some of the others. So I feel comfortable there. There's pieces, you know, that I think it's more of that I'm hearing from other people, not other people as far as me, but you know, you should be more authentic. You should be more vulnerable, but what does that mean? Or should I just say, I've got it. I feel good. You know,
I'm there. Yeah, definitely. Okay. So, you know, when we think about kind of these two different conversations, right, our internal processing, and I think probably that keeps coming up in some of these vulnerability conversations, because I think sometimes people feel like so much of vulnerability is the ability to emote in real time, right? Mm-hmm. To have a feeling in real time, to communicate said feeling in real time, to process, to, you know, all those pieces, and then also to empathize with someone doing that, right, in the same space. And as people are describing that experience, if they're using a lot of internal dialogue language, then that there can be kind of this breakdown in you know, connection to that or a miscommunication of how that would be true for you because the internal dialogue piece isn't there. And I don't think the internal dialogue piece is specific to type 8. I think type 8s can have some of that internal dialogue, but it's never going to look like the internal chatter that some of the types experience because you're wired differently as an 8. So when we think about vulnerability and kind of, you know, taking it out of just the internal dialogue conversation, you know, that sense of vulnerability is not just authenticity, but it is a genuine rendering of how you feel in the moment. And that's the part that is more tricky for type eights. And it really comes out of this defense mechanism for type eights of, you know, being more guarded, or we talk about denial, right? The sense of having a more, you know, more guarded presence mm-hmm. so that others' impact on us is not so strong. It's mm-hmm. really, it's a defensive strategy, right? And so in the process of having kind of this strong wall or this, you know, these castle walls up to help protect and defend our fortress, the problem is then we actually can't get out of the walls either. It goes, the, you know, the walls are solid both directions. So people mm-hmm. can't hurt us as an eight. But then we also can't emote out of those walls. We can't share feelings in real time. And sometimes so much to the reality that we don't even know what we're feeling. So it's not just we have this internal knowing and then the walls won't let it get past that. It's, you know, so close to us that we're protecting ourselves from ourselves. Mm-hmm. And as a type eight, the reality is your type came online to protect yourself as you're coming through childhood and mm-hmm. adolescence and young adulthood. But you don't need your type to protect you from feelings because you can survive them, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so there's this training and kind of loosening our type. So there's more wiggle room to know how we feel, to then give ourselves the option to actually share that in real time or not, if we're sensing that it's not a safe place. So how does that kind of description of vulnerability yeah. and defensive, how does that land in your experience?
Yeah, it lands in my experience. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have the options. Why go there? If it's going to hurt me, not. And I feel anything else, I feel comfortable. I'll say it if I think it, you know, within reason in a work environment, of course, but I don't have a problem necessarily telling people what to do, when to do it, how I feel, you know, in a moment, but it is that vulnerable part to where mm-hmm. it's, why do I go there if I don't need to go there? Yeah. And so I can head off, then I'll do it and I can feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you say you can feel it, what does that feel like for you in those moments when you're kind of making the decision to say something or not?
So I think that would be the only time I would even come close to an internal dialogue. Mm-hmm. It would be, I can go one way, or I can, what I would do, shut down. And I rarely do that. But I can just shut it off. It means nothing to me. Move on. I can compartmentalize. I can turn that switch so easily. Yeah. And it can be anything from a death in the family or a loved one to a thought of a community member maybe not being happy, you know, and mm-hmm. vocalizing it. It doesn't affect me as much, which means to me, I that's a give and take because I can do more with that. It's not personal, which mm-hmm. which leads most people to say, you should run for office or, you know, because I have that what appears as thick skin. Mm-hmm. But it's me just like, I don't need it. It's also it is a protectionism, but it also allows me to not sweat the small stuff, the little mm-hmm. personal things, the that don't really mean much. And granted, I'm putting my value on that. So I mm-hmm. get that. So it allows me just to get through things quicker and taking the personal feelings out of it, the decisions, mm-hmm. which I think is what's helping me in the workplace too.
Yeah, definitely. Right. And that's the thing that I think is really helpful. You know, any intention that someone brings into coaching, it's always a two sides to the coin of there's one part of it that's actually really beneficial in the workplace, right? You know, mm-hmm. we think about with type eights, there's a tremendous speed that happens. And part of that productivity and that ability to kind of hustle or knock things off the list or have a busy calendar, it really is that feeling doesn't come into the equation nearly as much as it does for some other types. Mm-hmm. And feelings take time, right? It takes time to process them, to feel them, to connect with someone else that's you know, feeling and processing something that's going on, all of that takes a lot of time. And feeling is really unpredictable information, which type 8s don't love. Yeah. And so all of that, though, it really does take time. And so because that feeling intelligence, they're not as sensitive to that plane of intelligence as they are to instinctual and analytical intelligence, they have a tremendous amount of speed. The problem, though, is that the other side of the coin is that sometimes the speed is not really what was needed in that moment. The person that was trying to connect with you is what was needed, or the person that is disenchanted with the workspace and they just needed someone to empower them or cheer them on, which aides are fantastic at, or someone that, you know, is really struggling with something that has nothing to do with the workplace, but they're actually, you know, when we think about it, they're just a human that showed up at work. And so that's part of it too. Even if their, you know, work and their personal stuff has nothing to do with work, they're a human that showed up, not a machine. And so now all of a sudden it does have something to do, and they need a little bit of space to just acknowledge that, or to tell them, it, you know, there's space for that too, or it's going to be okay, or take the day off even, right? Mm-hmm. And giving some acknowledgement to that humanity. But if there's no, you know, what can happen with type eights is, and with all the types, we get onto such autopilot of our own type, where for the eight, it's just the speed and it's the efficiency. It's the getting things done. And it's the, well, that doesn't hurt my feelings, or I'm not that concerned about that, or this is what makes most sense. And so all of these, you know, emotions that are coming around it, yeah, they're there, but also they're not going to be the main decision maker. All as it kind of snowballs can turn into spaces where eights become unintentionally unapproachable, or mm-hmm. they become, you know, unaware of what's happening with the team, or even unaware of what's happening with self, kind of coming back to this vulnerability conversation. You know, that vulnerability is not just connecting with others' emotions. That's part of it. But it's also having an awareness of what's going on for us. You know, as the eight is going quickly through the day, they're also not giving a lot of time for how they feel about something, right? And it can kind mm-hmm. of become, you know, I always use this analogy of, you know, growing up, we always had above ground swimming pools, and you know, as kids, we would walk around the perimeter of them, and then the water would just follow us until eventually it would go so quickly that the water would sweep us out from our feet. And we had created that momentum, but then our own momentum swept out our own feet. And that can happen often with eights, where they go so quickly with so oftentimes not giving very much space to how they feel or what they care about, or even, you know, if they're starting to feel burnt out or disenchanted with their experience, but their momentum sweeps their feet out from under them, and they can find themselves in seasons of feeling really burnt out, or feeling like mm-hmm. they need to quit their job or their career all of a sudden, because they just don't really know what's happened, because they've kind of run themselves into the ground by not checking in with themselves too. How does that land? Does it offer some of those pieces back?
I would say that's true. I feel when I talk to other colleagues, or I talk to other peers, when they talk about getting overwhelmed and getting to that boiling point, they're talking about weeks, like, hey, I've got weeks or months. For me, it's almost a decade or two, right? So like my boiling point doesn't come, even though my high stress environment, my go, 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 I was traveling the world, I was in different time zones and different working morning, noon, and night for 20 years, right? And it didn't really faze me. I thrived on stress. Whereas that would have, some of my colleagues were like, I would be out in 2 months. Like I couldn't do it. So finding that was kind of difficult, and kind of still is, because we can do a lot and we're good at it. At least those decisions, those making things happen, the visionary, I can do most people's jobs in the organization, sometimes better than they can. And that's a hard part for me, on being able to say, I can't do it all. That's one thing that I'm learning, is we have a sales team for a reason. We have a marketing team for a reason. And can I do it and make decisions and probably, you know, run laps? Yes. But it's that backing off, mm-hmm. Which is the most difficult part. So that's it's definitely part of the issue.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's kind of that sense of like, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should do it. Yes. And I think that's really hard because it feels like, oh, I have the energy, the momentum, the skill set, the confidence, right? There's a lot of different qualities that type 8s bring into the workplace. And so in those moments, it feels like, well, I can totally do this, or I can do this way quicker than the time it would take me to explain it to you.
Yeah, right.
But in those moments too, you know, those are the small decisions that, can escalate quickly. And now you have five different jobs that are going on at any given point. Or, you know, the other piece of it too is oftentimes those in your team, they're not being utilized well because there's not enough things trickling down to them, right? Or being delegated. You know, I heard a type eight that's a lawyer say once, he's like, I have the most you know, highly skilled paralegal that is very well compensated and completely underutilized. He's like, 'cause I just do all of my stuff myself. And then it's that realization of like, you know, what could be done if you begin to delegate and pass on those opportunities to other people who also have really refined skill sets, maybe just in different directions, right? Things that don't quite land in your experience, but it would be excellent if it was, you know, on their plate or in front of them.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think I'm in a position now over the years where I have assembled a really good team. They are taking on a lot. I think it's me adding even more. So I think I might be in the reverse of the lawyer to where I look at the table during a staff meeting and as soon as I go, you know what? I think this is a great idea. Everybody's like, oh, here she goes. We're going to have a new program, a new initiative, a new thing, a new, you know, so I tend to be cognizant that some of the ideas and things that I know we can do because I can push it through the finish line, it can be a lot for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Definitely. And even that is a really good example of, you know, type eights can read body language, right? So even in that moment, right, you deliver the news and then you either hear the audible sighs or something about their body language you can pick up on. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, when we think about even this conversation of vulnerability, kind of pulling it back again, part of what feels like other types have this keen savviness towards vulnerability, part of it is because emotional intelligence, the plane of feeling intelligence, is more obvious to them. You know, we talk about the head, heart, body triads, right? They have a different plane of intelligence that's easier for them to sense or how they filter the world. And so because that, you know, feeling intelligence is not dominant for eights, but they can use other things to still pick up on a lot of that. And body language is one of those things. But what's kind of happening there is that eights, you know, for some other types, all of the feelings that people would have had, another type, you know, like say a two, they would have sensed how people were going to feel before they ever even said it into the room. But for eights, they have to say it and let it land. And then they get the feedback of, oh, that didn't go well, or, oh, I hurt your feelings, or, you know, I lead with type eight too. I have a like very distinct memory of offering some feedback that I felt like was not personal. It was like just very much teaching about the job, and the female that I was supervising started crying. And I was like, okay, now I have need to reel this in, and I'm not sure where we need to go. And I don't actually know what's happened. Right. But it's the sense of, it's not this intuitive, emotional empathy that can show up in other types, right? That there's qualities of that can be learned, and that muscle can be practiced. But it's actually relying on the feedback of realizing like, oh, that landed differently, or you're having a reaction, which makes me think that something I said didn't go the way that I thought it was going to be in my mind. And so that's another helpful, you know, feedback tool that is not necessarily the inner dialogue that other types have, or the inner critic that's kind of, you know, second guessing yourself, but it is a form of refining how you're showing up and giving you more tools for those vulnerable connections of feeling and empathizing with others, even if it's happening in a more logical way.
Right. Yeah, no, that makes sense. When I was first learning about the Enneagram, I was confused. I didn't know what it was. And I was confused by a community member in the organization was like, oh, there's this Enneagram. I think you're a two because of a gift I gave him. It was a gift. I sent him random, like thinking of you, just wanted to give it. And he had, oh, you must be a two. I'm starting on this journey. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I start looking it up and I'm like, not even close. However, yeah, it does make sense on even the feedback that he gave me on that. I didn't want that thank you call. It drove me nuts that even, you know, thank you, this means so much. I'm like, get over it. It was a gift. I moved on. I want you to move on. And so that kind of feedback I'm working with as well from people, understanding that they need to give it to me maybe. But when I do things, when I get that feedback on that, how thankful or how appreciative, like, I just want to stop it right there and say, move on. Like, great. Thanks. You got it. Let's move. And get to something else.
And, you know, that might even really, thinking about that, that receiving of emotion, right? So it's not that you are comforting someone. It's not that, you know, you're witnessing a emotion that's all their own, but in the sense of someone is offering you adoration or compliment or some sense of you are meaningful to me, you know, that might be a simple invitation towards moving towards vulnerability, is practicing receiving those moments, because you're not giving anything up, right? There's not a sense of now you know something about me that could be used against me.
Right.
You know, that underlying sense of I don't want you to take advantage of me, it creates this sensitivity towards emotions and compliments because they feel like manipulation. And I think that's really hard for other types that are not eights to understand because it feels counterintuitive, right? They're like, I wish I could get compliments all day long. I love that so much. I want you to, you know, walk in and hug me or whatever it is. And not all the types, obviously. Yeah. But when we think about type eights, you know, that gets filtered through the type eight lens of you're trying to take advantage of me, or you're manipulating me, or you're trying to build social capital that you'll cash in later. And I don't want to be indebted to you, or I don't want you to interact in this way that feels skewed. I want everyone to just show up the way that they're going to show up, and to not be, you know, sometimes even that, like the political game that gets played, or the organizational savviness. Sometimes those things drive eights crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so even in that moment, right, you don't have to offer a lot of your internal process and thoughts back. Maybe there's space for that with some coworkers, but even in that moment, just letting the compliment land, right, to clearly, you know, acknowledge like, oh, that was thoughtful, right? Or, you know, that was really kind for them to come back and say that. Or, how do I feel in this moment? Even doesn't have to be that you have that conversation with the coworker, but even processing it later of like, how do I feel in this moment? Do I feel vulnerable? Do I feel uncomfortable in some way? Do I feel, like they're, you know, whatever it is. Because sometimes those walls shooting up around the castle really quickly is because there's some tender feeling that we're having, and we're trying to protect ourselves from it, but we can handle it.
Yeah. No, I think the way I have always looked at it is I hadn't always seen the benefits of vulnerability. Like, what's the benefit? Like, it have to be the other person because it doesn't benefit me, you know, or at least I don't feel, you know, that it benefits me. So I've always just asked the question, why? Like, what's the point? Like, I feel good. I feel happy. But if it's about the other person, I'm all for that. Is it, if it's for me, I still don't understand that piece.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
when we think about some of these, you know, I think the parts where it is more about self than others, right? Because again, eights can be really good coaches and cheerleaders and people that are very empathetic supervisors and empowering people, because I think there is a sense of this is my job is to help you along. And so if I can inspire or motivate or help, you know, empathize or whatever it is, there is part of that kind of falls into like, this is the job and I want to do this well. The other side of it though, when it being more about self, you know, the invitation there is that, as eights move through the world and they are kind of, you know, part of that denial, we talk about that as the defense mechanism. Part of that is also filtering out things that make you feel weak. So that can be physical things, right? Eights are amazing at ignoring physical ailments. They can run and run and run and not really acknowledge the problems that are going on. But part of that can also be that your emotions make you feel weak. And so your natural type structure filters out those experiences as dangerous or just unneeded, right? There's nothing beneficial about that. And so that is part of that natural type 8 structure of why would I need that? And so the problem with that is it becomes the, you are sensing information that way. And then from your own type 8 perspective, validating that this is fine information to be sensing. And so the other side of it is to consider vulnerability is essential for meaningful relationships. So there are, that vulnerability in a workspace, right? That can have varying levels of meaning to them, right? You can have really good working relationships with the people that you supervise or with coworkers, and there being, just small levels of vulnerability because you're friends, right? Or your coworkers in a meaningful way that's more than just we do work together, right? We know things about each other in our lives. But outside of that, outside of the workspace, meaningful connections with others require not just initial vulnerability, but consistent vulnerability. So whether that is with meaningful friends, whether that's with, family, with romantic partners, whatever that might be, oftentimes that becomes the tipping point for eights. Eights can function really well in work environments because vulnerability is kind of negotiable, right? You can have meaningful co-working relationships and supervisory relationships and it not be a mutual exchange of we trust each other and we're in relationship with each other. But that is impossible to be true outside of that familial co-working relationship when it gets into mutually beneficial relationships like friends and families and romantic partners. Mm-hmm. And so that's the side of it that I would offer that gets filtered out in the type 8 lens. How does that lean as I kind of offer the shadow of it?
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I can definitely see the difference. And yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We could spend more and more time unpacking all of those pieces.
Yeah.
But of course, there's never enough time. My invitation to you is as moments of where you can sense that the walls are coming up, right? You can sense this moment of withdrawing and kind of pulling back. Mm-hmm. These moments where someone is offering a fondness or adoration, or you can sense that some more of a tender emotion is stirring in you. My invitation is to one, notice it and to try to name it. So if you notice it before the walls come up and it gets filtered out of your experience, to try to just take a slow breath, maybe even wiggle your toes in your shoes to help keep yourself in that moment. And just to ask yourself, what do I feel? Right? It could be that you feel embarrassed because you kind of got put on the spot with this affirmation, or maybe that it feels awkward. Okay. Well, why do I feel awkward? Right? Is there some sense of feeling like you might be manipulated or being taken advantage of? Is there some sense where now you feel like you are indebted to someone and you feel more weak or, less than. And so being curious about what is the sensation that's coming up and why do I feel that way? Whether you can give a name to the emotion or just kind of to that experience. How does that practice sound as I kind of offer that as you move forward?
That's good things to keep in mind. It's definitely going to be a practice, right? A muscle that I'd have to consciously think about in the time. But yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And I think too, as you practice it and kind of make note of it, to also consider what comes from it, right? Sometimes you'll be surprised by, again, leading with type 8, I've had moments of incredible vulnerability or weakness that was not my choice. The life situation made it happen. And I have been shocked by how much people have appreciated those moments of realizing like I was human too, right? Mm-hmm. Or that I also needed to take care of my sick kiddo, or that I couldn't keep it all together, or that this was bothering me as much as it was, hurting them, right? These moments of realizing like, oh my goodness, she's also human, right? And eights don't often realize how much we can, come off in a way that is more stoic or intimidating but how much of a gift it is to people in their relationship with us to realize that we're also human too. And so I'll offer that just back from my experience.
No, I appreciate that. It's you don't hear from an eight often enough on this topic, because usually when I go in for if I ever thought about going in for guidance, my first thought is, I'm going to be smarter than them. I'm going to know more than them. I can't trust anyone. You know, it's yeah. very difficult to even go to a doctor, because sometimes I'm like, I could research this and know better. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's innate. I don't want to be the smartest person in every room, the most confident. And I crave that somebody to give me something I don't have. And and that's kind of a void that I look at trying to fill is, how do I ever get there? Right. So mm-hmm. obviously for another day, but, yeah, it's not easy to trust guidance, or find people that, can inspire or, yes. So
yeah.
that's an interesting.
Yeah. And I think part of that too is making the intentional choice to let them, right? To let yeah. them be your doctor, to let them be your guidance, to let them be your friend, to let them be whatever it is. You know, I remember even in younger years having intentional thoughts of you have to let them supervise you, right? As I was making my way up in management, of like, you will bring out the worst in them if you don't let them supervise you. And I think that's one of these things of, right, like for other people, you're in a position where, of course, you're going to receive the service or the instruction or the authority. And I think eights have to make an intentional choice to allow that to happen, because your type structure will fight it.
Yeah.
And that can be an invitation to allow it to happen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's such a gift to get to meet you. And you know, as you think about the work that you're doing, especially having a team that you're leading, you know, it's such a gift to have a leader that is mindful of who they are and how they're showing up and wanting to do that in a thoughtful way. And so what a gift that is that you are for your team.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Are you looking for meaningful ways to support your staff and provide opportunities for engagement? I love teaching organizations about the Enneagram and how to use this system for increased self-awareness and also more compassionate collaboration with others in the workplace. You can schedule a free consultation call with the link in the show notes to explore how bringing the Enneagram to your workplace will benefit your organization. I look forward to connecting with you soon.